Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
But it strikes me that we are undergoing an epidemic of political vigilantism right now. Why are people showing up in vehicles, in convoys, not just in Minneapolis, but all over the country in an effort to obstruct lawful federal law enforcement activities? This is not an isolated incident. We have had hundreds of car rammings against ICE agents all over the country. According to DHS, this lady in this car today, along with other vehicles, had been tracking ICE agents around. Why are people believing that they can drive their car into a federal law enforcement situation and that is an appropriate thing to do? I understand they don't like the fact that these agents are enforcing existing immigration law, but that's not how we change laws in this country. If you don't like a law, you talk to the politicians. You don't drive your car into the middle of a building or a law enforcement situation that's being occupied by the people who are simply there to enforce the law. If I don't like how much the IRS is charging me in taxes, I don't drive my car into the Treasury Department and try to run somebody over. I call my congressman. Political vigilantism is being encouraged by Democratic officials like the Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, Peggy Flanagan, who earlier this year told people to, quote, put your bodies on the line, and Tim Walz calling these guys Gestapo all year. What do you think happens when you radicalize a base of people about this?
It does strike me, Scott.
And that's Scott Jennings on CNN asking the questions that actually need to be asked about this that won't be asked at all by the mainstream media. And here's the incredible part of this ICE shooting story yesterday that's about to get conveniently lost in the mainstream media. Your liberal friends will never hear it. It's an astonishing number, the number 3. That's 3 car rammings that day, same day, in Minnesota of ICE by liberal lunatics amid hundreds in recent weeks. This isn't some misunderstanding over where the car was. This is something much bigger. Scott Jennings, who you heard in the beginning of this podcast, asked the question this morning in a tweet. What happens when a political party spends a year radicalizing their base against ICE agents with increasingly unhinged rhetoric?
As somebody who understands history, when I see ICE, I see slave patrols.
Donald Trump's modern day Gestapo is scooping folks up off the streets. They're in unmarked vans wearing masks, being shipped off to foreign torture dungeons.
Folks getting snatched off the street by secret police who are wearing masks.
These people are terrorizing our communities.
Torture dungeons.
Secret police who are masked, who are intimidating, who are scaring people. These Gestapo-like tactics.
It does look like a Gestapo operation. It does look like the Gestapo.
ICE, unmask. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of?
After a year of that, you get head of Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, telling a story like this about what really happened in Minnesota yesterday.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement were carrying out lawful operations here in Minneapolis. Because of the adverse weather that Minneapolis has seen in recent snow, one of the vehicles became stuck and ensnared in the snow. Law enforcement were attempting to push out this vehicle, and when a mob of agitators that were harassing them all day began blocking them in, shouting at them, and impeding law enforcement operations. ICE officers and agents approached the vehicle of the individual in question, who was blocking the officers in with her vehicle, and she had been stalking and impeding their work all throughout the day. ICE agents repeatedly ordered her to get out of the car and to stop obstructing law enforcement, but she refused to obey their commands. She then proceeded to weaponize her vehicle, and she attempted to run a law enforcement officer over. This appears as an attempt to kill or to cause bodily harm to agents, an act of domestic terrorism.
Interestingly enough, another fellow protester who was at the scene witnessed this, inadvertently made the same argument that Christy Noem did. She was actually trying to slam ICE, but listen to what she said about the woman who was shot.
They clearly wanted her out of there because she was the main car leading the protest, is my understanding. I talked to another guy who was driving behind her, but she was very she was very successful in blocking traffic. She was doing what she was set out to do, and so they wanted to get her the hell out of there.
So it looked like she was impeding ICE vehicles.
Definitely, yeah, okay. That was her goal.
So this is a woman who's using this as a very deliberate tactic. Okay, now how often is this tactic used? And I want to play this. This is the next part of Christy Noem's statement because it gives you an idea of the mind frame, the survival mind frame of these immigration officers who are constantly attacked by leftist lunatics in cars who want to run them over. And I do mean constantly.
Today alone in this country, there have been four different domestic terrorist attacks on federal officers by the ramming of vehicles. Three of them happened here in Minneapolis. We've seen over 100 of these vehicle rammings happen in just recent weeks, and this must stop.
Wait a minute. Over 100 in recent weeks?
ICE alone is facing a 1,300% increase in assaults against them and an 8,000% increase in death threats against all of them. In fact, the very same officer who was attacked today had previously been dragged by an anti-ICE rioter who had rammed him with a car and drug him back in June. He sustained injuries at that time as well.
Yeah, she'd go on to explain he was actually hospitalized. So you hit a guy like this with the car, and you're going to get the reaction that you got. They've already tried to kill him once with a car. And here's the thing, folks. I would invite you to do this. The video the media initially showed doesn't actually show her hitting him, or you could barely tell it. Go and get the one I put in the sources. I tweeted it out. Blow it up full screen on a laptop, or better yet, a full screen computer. I did this for my kids last night. Then slow it down. You know how you can slow down the play speed? Slow it down. And I played it for my kids. I didn't say anything. They were curious about this. I just wanted to see their reaction. And my daughter goes, oh my gosh, she tried to kill him. She did. She slammed into him hard. His body goes flying backward. And because it's minimized a lot on social media, to fit the kind of thumbnail size they have, you can't see it till you blow it up. She hit him hard. His body reverberates backward before he lifts his arm to fire. He is absolutely justified here. And you really look at this differently. She did not care if she hurt him. In fact, I think she intended to. And right away, Democrat leadership, who've sought an incident like this desperately for months, pounced. Now, I want you to remember, as you hear Democrat Mayor Jacob Frey want to complain, remember, ICE is on the streets of Minneapolis in the first place because Democrat politicians refuse to turn over convicted illegal immigrant criminals, because it's a sanctuary city, who could be safely handed over to ICE at the jails. In other words, ICE doesn't even need to be in the streets if Democrats would just turn over these criminals when they bond out. Anyway, here's liberal lunatic Democrat Mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey.
What they are doing is causing chaos and distrust. They're ripping families apart. They're sowing chaos on our streets. And in this case, quite literally killing people.
Ripping families apart. What families? Christy Noem tells us what families. Because this is who Jacob Frey and the governor, Tim Walz, released onto the streets.
Since we have been here in recent weeks, we have arrested over 1,500 criminals off of the streets. Our law enforcement has arrested murderers, known and suspected terrorists, child pedophiles, and other brutal criminals that were protected here in this city. We should all work together to protect our citizens.
Democrats create the problem in sanctuary cities, knowing it'll draw ICE. Then they attack ICE. But again, listen to how liberal lunatic Democrat Mayor Jacob Frey of Minneapolis characterizes the situation.
I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the f*** out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here. Your stated reason for being in this city is to create some kind of safety, and you are doing exactly the opposite. Families are being ripped apart. Long-term Minneapolis residents that have contributed so greatly to our city, to our culture, to our economy are being terrorized, and now somebody is dead.
Huh. Long-term Minneapolis residents who've contributed so much. And who might they be?
And let me remind you why we're all here in this city today and why we've been here. For years under President Biden, tens of millions of dangerous criminal illegal aliens, terrorists, and suspected terrorists were allowed to invade our country over our southern border. They were allowed to steal, to defraud, and to perpetuate violence against American citizens. Since Governor Walz has been in charge of Minnesota, we have seen homicides go up by over 50%. That's also during Mayor Frey's tenure as well. Since President Trump took office, Governor Walz has released over 470 violent criminals back onto the streets here in Minneapolis. He has another 680 of them still within his jurisdiction that he could give to us today to face the consequences for their crimes. Because Governor Walz and Mayor Frey refuse to protect Minnesotans, and instead they protect these criminals, that's why we are here. And we didn't just show up yesterday, we've always been here.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I first warned you in March and April on this podcast that as Doge uncovered the extent of their fraudulent networks, they would become more and more and more violent. If Trump successfully began to remove their shadow nation of voters, they would become more and more and more violent because they simply cannot win in a fair contest, and they know it. You're watching that now. Folks, this violent physical obstruction didn't start on the streets. Didn't even start with ICE. Do you remember the first real instance? I called it hand-to-hand combat. It was actually at the Treasury. Remember, Scott Bessent had already been sworn in and his job was to handle the receipts, the payments. And they went into the building, literally Bessent and Doge, and they were physically obstructed. They blocked Doge at the door. They tried not to let him in. By the way, at that point, remember, Trump had already officially made them federal employees. When they finally did manage to get in with the help of security, remember the lead guy who'd been there for like 20 years who had the passwords, wouldn't turn him over. Remember, Doge was working on hacking into the system just to see the payments Bessent is responsible for. When finally a mid-level manager said, okay, I'll give you the passwords, I'll let you get in. And remember, they very quickly found that 20% of the payments roughly were fraudulent. They're going nowhere. They're going to non-existent people. We don't know who they are. It's just bank transfers. That's how you could tell there was something big under the surface, a leviathan of fraud. By April, on a podcast with Ted Cruz, Elon Musk was already foreshadowing the violence, talking about why the left wanted to kill him. He was exposing this network. Folks, that was before a single Tesla dealership ever burned. And now doesn't it make sense why the left was stoking violence against Elon Musk and Doge?
The single biggest thing that they're worried about is that Doge is going to turn off fraudulent payments of entitlements. Everything from Social Security, Medicare, disability, Small Business Administration loans, turn them off to illegals. Okay, this is the thing that why they really hit my guts and want me to die.
And do you think that's billions, hundreds of billions? What do you think the scale is of that?
I think across the country, it's well north of 100 billion, maybe 200 billion. By using entitlements fraud, the Democrats have been able to attract and retain vast numbers of illegal immigrants.
And buy voters.
And buy voters, exactly. They basically bring in, I don't know, 10, 20 million people who are beholden to the Democrats for government handouts and will vote overwhelmingly Democrat, as has been demonstrated in California. This is
It's an election strategy.
Yes.
It's power.
Yes. And it doesn't take much to turn the swing states blue. I mean, often a swing state might be won by 10, 20,000 votes.
Sure.
Folks, everyone on our side today is walking around talking about the lawlessness of Democrats actually believing they should be able to ram an ICE agent, drive in the middle of their operations and block them if they get mad. And they're looking at the physical crime of it, right? Like, none of us would even imagine trying to impede law enforcement and much less trying to hit them with our car. I mean, we'd expect to be shot. But folks, there are other crimes here, too, that leftists feel entitled, absolutely entitled to commit. This Breitbart article lays out what we learned yesterday on the Somali fraud in Congress. And Democrats feel as entitled to loot the Treasury on behalf of their chosen political groups as they do to ram ICE agents. Listen to this. From Breitbart, the Somali-dominated Democrat political machine in Minnesota successfully silenced hundreds of government experts who tracked the huge flow of taxpayer funds through Somali-run businesses, a top Minnesota Republican told a House hearing on Wednesday. Up to 1,000 government auditors, accountants, and program managers were silenced by Democrat threats, Minnesota House Rep. Marion Rarick told a House meeting. Listen to how they did it. She says the most severe ones, this is from the transcript, was that they would be fired with cause so they couldn't have unemployment insurance, that they would be blacklisted from all state agencies. Hennepin County, Ramsey County, as you know, those are Democrat run. But that was only the beginning, both of the persecution and of the rebellion. In 2023, Breitbart reports 480 Minnesota state staff formed an anonymous group on Twitter to beg the public to do something about the fraud because they couldn't report it to their superiors, their Democrat superiors. The reason I'm telling you this is to show you how widespread not only the knowledge of the fraud is, but the culture in Democrat systems. And as I read this to you, imagine living in a one-party country with this particular culture being the predominating culture. And the culture is simply this. Certain groups will not only be allowed to commit crime, they will be encouraged to do so. Among them, lunatic leftists who like to ram ICE. Yeah, but that's not all. Listen to what happened to you if you went to the management of the state government about the mass fraud from the federal government. Rarick told the House under oath, instead of focusing on fraudsters, the Minnesota Department of Human Services leadership focused on surveillance of employees who stood a chance of detecting the fraud. One only has to look at what happened to Faye Bernstein in a recent Newsweek article in December to find out. She's a former compliance specialist. Quote, Minnesota Department of Human Services functions in the opposite manner. Employees who suggest improvements or, heaven forbid, report fraud face significant retaliation. The messenger is shot. In 2019, Bernstein made the mistake of alerting Minnesota officials to sloppy contracting practices that were not legally compliant. She says she was later escorted out of the building, faced lengthy investigation, and even got criminal trespass charges from all DHS-owned and leased properties. She received an involuntary transfer to another agency. Quote, so today, if someone asked me, should I report fraud within DHS? I say, nope, nope, nope. It's career suicide, plus a whole lot more. So in addition to being blacklisted from ever working for state government again, quote, There was also the veiled threat of the use of intelligence against them. Wait, what? They were informed that in some targeted employees or suspected whistleblowers' personnel files were pictures of their homes and their cars. They also described that supervisors asked them questions about their family that to them felt like a threat. One example was, we need to know where your kids go to school and where their bus stops are. I also will note, she said, this is from the transcript from the congressional hearing yesterday, that whistleblowers we spoke to described many times DHS using surveillance programs to surveil employees' emails and chats and other communications, looking for the keywords fraud, double billing, underspending, and overpayments. Folks, this is a surveillance system built to ensure the Somali fraud.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.